I grab Ugatti, then she walks in. Well, where it goes, one in, one out. Sam.
Yes, boss.
It's December 1941 in Casablanca. What time is it in New York?
What? My watch stopped.
I bet they're asleep in New York. I bet they're asleep all over America. Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red Sun Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to have a tough exterior, but if you look inside, he's got a heart of gold. Alex Perkins, what are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm a real sentimentalist. So, although I don't really have that cool exterior, though.
Okay, you just got the gummy insides.
Yeah. I kind of just gummy insides and outsides, honestly.
welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the podcast where every week we review a movie connected to the last one we watched. If you like our show, we post pretty much every Friday on podcast services and YouTube. Last week, we watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and followed the actor Claude Rains, who has a big role in both these movies, actually. I was kind of surprised. It's this week's film, Casablanca. Perk, intro for us, please.
Yeah, all right. So Casablanca is a 1942 joint directed by Michael Curtiz, starring Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman, and the aforementioned Claude Rains. It, funnily enough, like just as a quick aside, everybody knows like Casablanca. Everybody knows of it.
Yeah.
And like most people even know, like, here's looking at you, kid, as a line.
Or maybe even all the gin joints in the world.
Yeah. Or this is the start of a beautiful friendship. Like so many lines from this movie that I just know. I had no idea what this movie was about.
Same. Maybe it was a love story kind of a thing.
Yeah. That's in there. But so it's it follows Humphrey Bogart's Rick, who owns and runs a bar joint in Casablanca, Morocco. Which is a place where people fleeing the war in World War II end up getting stuck on their journey to try and get to America. And it's really hard to get out of Casablanca, so a lot of people just end up stuck there. Mm-hmm. And so because of this, Rick has built this, you know, this club and bar and does well for himself with it. And then a big anti-war leader and his wife come to town and antics ensue. The most interesting fun fact I saw about this movie is that there's a scene in particular where German soldiers are in the bar and they took the piano and they're playing a German song I didn't recognize, but probably some Nazi propaganda song. Then the resistance leader goes over to the band and says, play Marseille. And so they start playing Marseille, which is a very recognizable tune. You'd know it if you heard it. And they play the song over the Germans and the whole bar sings along to the French song over the Germans. And you can see a lot of passion and even some tears in the eyes of some extras. Mm-hmm. And that's because a lot of the extras cast in this movie were actual refugees who had fled from Germany, including the guy who plays the SS captain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was very outspoken in his support of Jewish people and had, to the point where he was alerted that a death squad was coming to his home. So he had to flee the country.
Jesus Christ.
And he took the role in this movie as part of, you know, hoping it would help the fight.
Yeah.
So, the passion that you see in the extras is real because this is just a powerful moment for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because this movie came out before the end of World War II, right?
That's one of the most insane things for me watching the movie. Yeah. Is like one of the final lines, one of the closing lines in the movie is, I know we'll win. They didn't know yeah. that they would win at the time. This movie came out in 1942. This is like the heat of the war. This is before anything was decided.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely crazy. Yeah. Cause like I said, going in, I had no idea what this movie was about. I was going to my thoughts on too. And immediately I'm like, oh, this is a really cool setup. Like, this is a cool setting for a film of this city where people are stuck trying to flee Europe to get away from the war and go to America. And then it takes a bit to realize, like, okay, what is this movie about? Who are the main players? And then, okay, it's Rick and then Laszlo and Ilsa. And, man, I just freaking love this movie. It was so compelling and so interesting. And, like, the politics were fascinating. The characters are awesome. Rick is him, man. Like,
oh, he's so freaking cool.
That guy. Like,
he is him.
There's never been a cooler character that I've seen than fucking Rick.
I don't think so.
He's the best. And just the way everything progresses, like, yeah, I don't. And then his relationship with Claude Rains' character, the policeman, fascinating. And he's a fascinating character.
It's multifaceted too, isn't it? Because it's, yeah. He's not just a one note character.
No.
Like, their friendship is legitimate, even if, you know, they're at odds from like a employment standpoint.
Yeah, and he does some shady stuff on the side, but like he's playing both sides. Like, that's super fascinating. But yeah, I absolutely adored this movie. And like, this is another classic we've watched that lives up to the hype. Great, great film.
Yeah, so I think there may be a pattern in the fact that we kind of picked the movies that we're doing here based on the fact that we know that they're all-time classics. But yeah, this is so good. It really is. The story is interesting and it's unlike anything I've ever seen. It's incredibly topical to like the surrounding context of the time. Rick is the coolest character I think I've ever seen on screen. All the characters have like some depth to them, some more than others, and just are really interesting to watch and get to know. And I think that for a movie that's mainly just dialogue, I think the dialogue is outstanding.
Yeah.
I think some of the conversations they have are really snappy and clever. And there are some quick lines in there that are very funny and just well put forward, well scripted. So, yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I thought this movie was amazing.
Yeah. I did not expect to like this movie. I read like the IMDb blurb. It's like, oh, it's a politics thing. Sure. It's a period piece, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I was locked in the entire time.
It's not a period piece.
That's true.
It is. It's just, now, but it was like a movie of the times, I suppose, right?
That's true. I guess, I guess my thinking of it is like Rear Window could be made today as just like a murder mystery, but like this could only be made during World War II.
Right. It would have to be in a vastly different setting. Yeah.
Right. Right. But yeah. Talking about like the characters too, like even Laszlo, who I feel like in some respects is like one of the least important characters compared to like the other main characters. He's still, you believe him. You believe he is this leader, this charismatic person that can bring these people together, and he's important. Which I think is like, if it doesn't work, this movie doesn't work. But they sell him really well. The German captain dude is a sufficient asshole, you know, but he's also like clever, and him and the policeman working together and try to be like, all right, you know, you can't do this, can't do this, trying to shut everything down. Yeah. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked how much I like this movie. It's on paper. I feel like I shouldn't like it for what I typically enjoy, but it's just great. And yeah, like I said, Rick, fucking best dude to ever live. He's the GOAT.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's got some gray areas. Like, he's, you know, says he goes with the wind and refuses to take a side on an issue that has a fairly one-sided good versus bad dynamic. But, you know, at the time, you can't really be too outspoken in one direction or the other.
Well, and his actions speak louder than his words, right? Yeah. Like, the scene that sold me on him was that Bulgarian woman comes up to him and is like, hey, can I trust the policeman? You know, will he stick to his word? And he's like, yeah, he will. But what he's asking you to do is not great. So I'm going to take you over to my casino. I'm going to win you some money.
Fantastic
and
scene.
Yeah. Like, that was so fucking awesome. Like, I was like, yes, this is exactly like, what a perfect conclusion to that little plot point. And then everyone's like, we saw that, but we're not going to say anything, you know. That was when we're like, hey, Rick, he can do anything, I'm in. Like, he's the best.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot. And one of the things that I enjoyed quite a bit about this movie is like the world and the setting is so well fleshed out. And part of that, I think, is little vignettes like this, along with in the intro, it kind of just pans in to Casablanca and we just get little snippets of conversations with multiple people.
Yeah.
Like tons of conversations all about like what's going on and, you know, how they're stuck and where they need to go and what they need to do to get on the plane. And, it kind of immediately like lets you know where you are. You're here in limbo. You're in the in between.
Yeah. The world building is so fantastic. Yeah. I agree. The entire setting feels alive. It's mostly set in Rick's bar, but you have like the Blue Parrot also is the other kind of competing bar, which, is a nice kind of juxtaposition. And that character also comes in handy for different reasons. But yeah, I think you're right. Like all the little, that's why I said it takes a little bit to figure out what the movie's about, because you have all these little vignettes with different characters first, but it's important because it sets up the setting and everything. And you have that moment with the couple that is like, oh yeah, we're going to America tomorrow. We've only been talking in English, you know, to practice. And then they like just butcher like some English of like,
that, it was see, really
see watch, you know, like, yeah. The Raiders like, you're going to do great.
What watch? See watch.
And then it's also another reason why you believe Rick is him, because his staff respects him. Like that's such an easy thing you can do. It reminded me of Roadhouse kind of.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yes.
Where it's like, yeah, the staff respects him. They do what, you know, he asks, and because they're well taken care of, you know, and they all buy into the system and have the piano player and the bartender and the waiters. Yeah.
He is kind of a dick to Sam, the piano player, but it is insinuated that he, you know, pays him really well, takes good care of him at least.
Yeah. 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 I just adore this movie. I will say my one critique is Ilsa, I feel like, kind of falls apart right at the very end, like when she goes to see Rick at night and she's like, ah, I just can't think anymore, you do the thinking for me. Like, that's a literal line. I was like, all right, but like it helps add to like the dramatic tension of the finale, so like I can kind of allow it. But she's like, I can't, like, I'm too in love with you, I can't leave you again. I'm just like, sure, I don't know, I've never been in love, so I don't know what that's like, Bert. But to me, I'm kind of like, it seems a little bit cheap.
Yeah, I think it's like the chase. I think she's more, it's not necessarily that she's so deeply in love with Rick. It's more just the idea. But sure. I mean, their chemistry is real. That's for sure.
That's true.
They are both great. But I really like the way that resolved and the way that Rick goes with it in the end. On the topic, though, I think that, to mention, the performances are really good. I think Humphrey Bogart as Rick, the coolest man alive, I think he does a really good job. I actually don't think it really requires all that much out of him, which is not a slight. I think he's terrific. Ingrid Bergman, she's some up-and-comer I've never heard of, because she's great. I was a little bit surprised to see this is not one of the 49 films she was nominated for an Academy Award for, but I thought she was fantastic. Her character doesn't have a ton of depth, but I think she plays it just really well. And there are so many scenes where so much is just like just a close-up shot of just her face, and all you have to look at is just her in really great lighting. And she has to like keep your attention with just like her facial impression. And she's great. She's really good at that. So
They seem to like that shot a lot back in this day, like, 'cause we had the same thing in Mr. Smith. And I like it. It's a beautiful style of shot.
Yeah.
I don't know what the lighting setup is, but it looks great.
The movie overall is like super beautifully shot. And the lighting is great, especially like it's so just cool. Every time Ilsa walks into a room, like when Rick's at the table just drinking with Sam playing in the background, it's Ilsa walks in and she opens the door and walks in, and then light follows her. Like there's a there's a delay and then she's followed by the light, and it's just, oh, that stuff like that was so cool. I really liked it.
Yeah. Touching back on Humphrey Bogart's performance, I agree. There's not like a ton he has to do, but I will say I liked how he was noticeably happier in the Paris flashback.
That's true.
He's smiling more, and you can kind of tell he's a little more jaded, and Cindy goes like, oh, he doesn't drink with anybody and all that stuff. And I think his line delivery, especially at the end at the airport, was just like perfect. Like, I loved how he's like, you might not want to today, but in 2 days you'll realize this was the right decision and all that stuff. And then, the final bit about like, this is the start of a beautiful friendship. Like, so many iconic lines I did not know were from this movie. And it's right.
You hear it and you're like, oh, ding. Mm-hmm. And then, we get the ending, which I just absolutely love. The ending that we've seen in other movies, like In the Mood for Love. And what I wish that Lost in Translation had, where it's like, what could have been, but they don't end up together in the end. And I think that it's a really beautiful way to end it.
Yeah. And it's bittersweet, but it's like, it feels less bittersweet than In the Mood for Love. Cause like, she's with Laszlo, he's a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Rick is sad, but like, he knows he did the right thing.
He knows he did what was right. Yeah.
And now he's got his new buddy. They're going to go travel Europe with, or whatever they're going to do. I forget. They're going to go to America. Go
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie reminded me of Roadhouse for sure. Reminded me of Do the Right Thing. Just the setting of like, that was so well fleshed out, and Do the Right Thing of that neighborhood block. And this also felt well fleshed out in Casablanca. And then I'll ask you about this Past Lives, maybe of a kind of a similar kind of setup of like previous relationship and then coming in, there's a new relationship. I don't know.
Kind of a stretch, but
okay.
you are correct in like kind of an overlap between relationships. Although the relationship between the main character and Ha-Song in Past Lives was never romantic.
Okay.
At least never intimate. It was just like a friendship, really.
Gotcha. Okay.
Fair enough. But watch Past Lives. Someday when A24 actually gets that deal done with HBO or whatever.
Yeah. I will say, Laszlo being like, hey, it's fine if you and Rick hooked up in the past. I get it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
What a secure king here.
Well, she literally thought he was dead as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, there was another moment around then in the movie which I really liked. It's when Ilsa goes to Laszlo and says, but what if I told you, would you believe me if, and he says, you don't even have to say it. I already believe you. And then from that scene, Ilsa goes and sneaks into Rick's office and they have a conversation and he says, I wouldn't believe any word that came out of your mouth right now.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool little dichotomy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking back now, I'm like, is Laszlo him too? I think Laszlo's also him, but Rick is more him.
Be him. Yeah.
Yeah.
different dynamics of him.
Yes, exactly.
They are they, for sure.
They are they. Do you have any final thoughts or things you want to talk about?
I don't know. I'm just really glad to have actually like checked this one off the list, especially because it's always a name you hear floated around. But to have, it's so weird because like Rear Window, right? Like it took me a billion years to see Rear Window, but I always knew what Rear Window was about.
Right.
Guy sees a murder while he's got his leg laid up.
Mm-hmm.
Casablanca, I know where it takes place, but that's all I knew. So it was a really welcome surprise, and I'm glad I went into it so blind.
Yeah, same. I think my worry with a lot of these old movies, I'm worried that like it's going to be pretentious, or like only pretentious people like it and like will get it,
right?
You know, for whatever reason. But that's proven not to be the case. Like,
no,
these movies are just good movies, and like, you know, you just have to be a little open minded to actually go and watch them.
And we've yet to run into any that have aged terribly for like social reasons. Like there are things that you can notice and pick up where like dynamics are weird because this is, you know, pre-equal rights. But most of the movies we've watched haven't been in like in a civil rights frame. So right. These bad things of old times are happening, just not in the frame that we're looking through.
Yeah. I think the thing that I've noticed the most is just like the age gaps between men and women and that are in a couple.
I checked like, on this one as man. Well. Okay. But at least like, not to like defend large age gaps, but was it in Vertigo, Kim Novak was 24. Like 24 is not a child.
Yeah, but that's true.
It's still not great when it's such a huge gap. And then in this one, Humphrey Bogart was 16 years older. I think she was 26 and he was like 41.
Okay.
Laszlo was only, I think, 7 years older than her. But yeah, seems to be a kind of a thematic point in a lot of these movies where you've got I think part of that, too, is just the industry of Hollywood. And kind of that still goes today. Because women get the roles when they're young and beautiful, and it's a lot easier for a man past his prime to continue to get big roles, whereas Hollywood sees a woman as an item, and once she's no longer as perfectly beautiful as the day she was, you know, 18 and walked on a set, they care a lot less about her. So maybe that was even more exaggerated at the time.
And I wouldn't be surprised,
Yeah, like maybe you could have had... Like if Rick is 41 and maybe you get a woman who's 38, but maybe a 38-year-old actress couldn't get a role like that anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's that, but also even in the context of the story, like there's a line in the Paris flashback where like, he's like, oh, what were you doing 10 years ago or whatever? And she's like, oh, I was in like school. And he's like, what were you doing? I was looking for a job. And it's like, okay, how different in age are they, you know, in the context of the story? I think the thing that's unbelievable to me, and granted, I'm a man, so I don't know, but it's surprising to see often in these movies that like a very young woman is attracted to like a 50-year-old man. And it's like, are you though? Like, are you actually? Maybe you are, you know, I'm not going to judge, but seeing it over and over again, I'm like, is that actually what's going on?
All right. But like, I'm a 27-year-old man and I kind of have the hots for Rick.
I mean,
he's Rick, just so cool.
I'm thinking back on Vertigo. I'm like, you really like this 50-year-old man that's being creepy? Yeah. what are we doing? But yeah, we got a few left in the string. I'm hoping that we continue this trend of it not being too problematic. But
yeah, well, spoiler alert, we're not watching Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Maybe next time.
Hopefully no yellow face on the program.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Well, that wraps up our review of Casablanca. Thank you so much for listening. Perk and I, we got nothing bonus for this week. We've been busy and or tired and or sick, at least sing for myself.
We've been a little out of each pot. Yep.
Game in a little bit here and there, you know. Hopefully we'll have something next week. But for the main program, we're going to be doing arguably the most famous classic, Citizen Kane. We are finally doing Perk. Our connection, little strenuous, not too much though. There's this character actor, all right, Perk. His name is Gino Corrado, all right?
Okay.
And I'm going to look up his page one more time. I shouldn't have closed it. But this dude has been in so many goddamn movies, it's kind of insane. He was one of the waiters at Rick's. He's uncredited, but he was a waiter. This man was in 427 projects, all right? This man working.
That's a good clip.
Working back in the day. So I want to respect this man, Gino Corrado. You got the stuff. But he's also in Citizen Kane. So that's available on Max once again, making it easy for us. So if you want to watch with us, Citizen Kane on Max for next week. But until then, thanks for watching. Bye.
See ya.